including Honey Tribe, the Almond Betts Band, Blues Summit, Royal Southern Brotherhood, as well as songs from the Almond Brothers catalog.
Opening the show, our special guest, GA20. More information about the Devin Almond Project live at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM Minneapolis-St. Paul. Online and archived at kfai.org, the community's true voice.
And thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into, ideas about, and discussions on disability topics. I'm Sam Jasmine.
I'm Charlene Dahl.
Thanks for joining in. I want to remind you real quick that we are podcasted as well and will be on archives for 2 weeks. And we have an app. So if you want to hear us on your smartphone, you can go to kfai.org and download the app, or just ask Big Brother, i.e. Alexa or Echo, to please play the latest version of Disability and Progress. Tonight, we are speaking with Amanda Ventura and Angelica Price Roca. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Hello, ladies.
Hello. So nice to be chatting with you both again.
Again, I know. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. We're talking about Waymo, and it's such an exciting topic. Before we get really started, thanks for your time, by the way. Can you give the listeners who maybe didn't hear your first, you know, broadcast, give them a little bit of history of who you are and what you do for Waymo? Just a quick 30-second blurb.
Of course. And this is Amanda. I'm on the public affairs team at Waymo. So my role in particular at the company is working with road safety advocacy groups, disability advocacy groups, mm-hmm. and really helping bring education and awareness around mobility needs in our communities. And so a big part of that is working with people who have disabilities and hearing their stories, bringing them to Waymo, and vice versa, introducing the community to Waymo and then bringing them internally to us too to provide feedback and insights into their lived experience. It's really important to us that we're building a service that, you know, is going to actually be useful for the people that we want to serve. So for those who actually don't know what Waymo is, Waymo is a fully autonomous ride hailing technology company and service. And so what we do is very similar to other ride hailing services. There's an app on your phone where you can hail a completely empty vehicle to come and take you where you want to go within our service areas 24/7, and there's no one in the car. And so, you know, there's obviously a ton of really wonderful implications here for road safety, which we can get into in a little bit, as well as the accessibility space and our riders with the additional needs. And that's what I'm so excited to get into. That is,
yeah, we will get there. I have several questions here on the docket here.
Love it.
And will Angelica be speaking with us today?
I think she's going to be a fly in the wall today.
Okay, good enough.
I'm here to listen to you brilliant ladies talk about this exciting topic.
Excellent. Well, thank you for attending and your time. So we'll get to the Minnesota part, but I want to start at least just briefly by I know you are expanding into Minnesota, and that is hugely exciting for me because obviously I live here. But how does Waymo decide what state you're going to expand into? And how many are you in now? I know before it was X amount. So how many have you added, and how do you decide where you're going to go next?
You know, so much has happened since we last talked, and I think that was just last summer.
I know.
So Waymo is currently publicly available in 5 U.S. cities. So that's Los Angeles and San Francisco, Phoenix, Austin, and Atlanta. But we have since announced that we're going to be driving and eventually serving several more U.S. cities. We've even announced that we're driving around London and Tokyo. And so there's so much on the horizon. So when we are thinking about where we're going to go next, I mean, it's almost like, where aren't we headed at this point? There's so many cities in the United States that we want to serve. Some of the ones that we've already announced include Miami, D.C. Like you mentioned, we're going to be thinking more about the Midwest, so Minnesota, Missouri, and thinking more about even Michigan, which for those of you who have listened to other interviews, you know that we also had a presence in Michigan for a little bit. And so I'm really excited to see so much growth. And I think it's just going to increase. When we're thinking about where we're going to go next, you know, it's really about like, what can we learn from these new areas where we're going to be driving? So the first, you know, 5 cities that we've launched in have been kind of in, sunnier places.
Right.
And of course, I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about snow and weather.
We are going to.
And, you know, that's one of the interesting things is that now that we have our 6th generation driver, and we have thousands of miles of experience on, you know, various inclement weather roads, we're feeling more confident in driving in these areas that get a lot of snow and have near freezing temperatures and all of the really fun things that you Minnesotans love.
Tolerate. All the things that we tolerate. When you're young, I think you love the snow when you're like 8 or something. When you get in your 30s or later, I think you think, I don't know. Unless you're ski
welcome.
Bunny.
You're welcome to relocate to Phoenix anytime. It can be fun.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy that we don't have so many poisonous things here. That's just, you know, I'm a gardener and I kind of don't. I like to know mostly of what I'd stick my hand down on now.
Fair enough.
Let's start out. I wonder if you could tell me what do you see autonomous vehicles changing the transportation for people with and without disabilities? Like, how do you see transportation changing for them?
Sure. I mean, some of the benefits of autonomous vehicles are that they're driven by a driver, which is what we call our technology, the Waymo driver. So the Waymo driver doesn't get drunk, distracted, drowsy, didn't just break up with its girlfriend, isn't getting angry on the road. You know, 90%+ of crashes on our roadways are caused by some element of human choice or error. And, you know, the technology that doesn't have those same fallibilities has this huge benefit to make roads safer. Right now, we're losing about 40,000 lives on U.S. roads every year in road crashes. And, those safety benefits aren't just for people who are going to be using Waymo as their transportation mode, but also for people outside of the vehicle, you know, pedestrians, cyclists, and motorcyclists. And we're already seeing in our driving that we are 10 times safer than a human driver across the board. And that's in 127 million miles on public roads. So from that perspective, the safety benefits alone are massive. And then as we think about the accessibility side, I don't think I really have to, I don't want to preach to the choir at all, but I'll share some of the things that partners have shared with me, which is You know, when you are getting into a ride hailing vehicle, a vehicle that you can't drive or that you don't drive, and it's a stranger's car, there's a lot of different elements that are kind of unknown that you have to navigate every time. And sometimes that can cause stress. I talk to a lot of people who use guide dogs, and they tell me that, you know, it's like a negotiation every time they have to get into a stranger's vehicle. And sometimes the vehicle doesn't even stop to negotiate either. And so there's, you know, accessibility benefits that we think, you know, are quite plentiful. I mean, you and I can get into this quite deeply. I think it's it's about providing just another opportunity for people to make connections in the community, to get to work, to get to doctor's appointments, to just go at will 24/7 in a vehicle where you control the temperature, you control the music. And I heard the Bob Marley earlier before we started the interview, like you can jam the whole ride. And that's kind of, that's something that doesn't really exist in this way for a lot of people who cannot drive or choose not to due to disability.
So I'd like to talk just briefly about convenience and innovation. So they don't always line up with accessibility. I'm wondering how Waymo makes sure that they do. And do you have any people with disabilities on the team of Waymo?
We do have a disability and neurodivergence alliance for employee resource group. That's relatively new. But in addition to employees who perhaps bring their own lived experience to the Waymo product and the service, we have the Waymo Accessibility Network, which is a quarterly forum that we convene at Waymo with accessibility leaders. So these are people from National Federation of the Blind, American Council of the Blind, the Epilepsy Foundation, United Spinal Association, Deaf Equality. And so leaders from these organizations are coming to these meetings, and they are engaging with our product team, our policy team, our software team, to learn about the latest accessibility updates that we're pursuing or new features that we're developing before they're launched to the public, so that we do have kind of an active, you know, feedback loop with our partners who represent that lived experience and the expertise outside of Waymo. Additionally, we have UXR, or user experience researchers, who are constantly, you know, working and diligently working to ensure that we have a diverse range of perspectives whenever we're working on like very in-depth research that's going to inform future product features and launches. So lots of opportunities for people with disabilities and those unique perspectives to help inform what we're building.
I'm wondering what kind of disability-related barriers. I do hear the idea of, oh my gosh, I can finally not worry about taking my service dog with me, you know, to events or places and have to worry about being left or told that I, you know, didn't appear for my ride. And what other barriers do you see the Waymo eliminating?
Sure. I think that there's, I mean, I'll speak as a woman too. I think sometimes there's kind of a presence of mind of your personal and psychological safety that can sometimes come into play when you're in the car with a stranger. And so for me, I think, and especially for, you know, women with disabilities that I've talked to, you know, the idea of not having to answer 1,000 questions about your physical disability, potentially, you know, how blind are you and what hinges on how I answer that question. You know, I think there's kind of components of that where even if the person really, the intention was well meant, it's always kind of in the back of your mind.
Why do you want to know something like that? Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. And so I think, you know, even for myself, it's kind of in the back of my mind of a little bit of relief. I'm alone in the back seat of this car. I don't even need to worry about driving or worry about who else is in the vehicle with me. And so that's another component. It's a psychological, you know, kind of guard that you can let down. And then I think too that, you know, I've talked to some people, we have an in-car accessibility feature called audio cues. And what that does is when you toggle that on within our app menu, the vehicle gives you occasional cues as to what's going on outside of the vehicle. So if we stop at an intersection and we're kind of inching forward, or, you know, there's like a little bit of a behavior and you're like, what's going on, to, you know, thinking to yourself, the PA system inside the car will say, waiting for the intersection to clear, or, you know,
which is nice.
So nice. Proceeding along Main Street, just to give especially people who are blind or low vision additional cues about what's happening outside of the vehicle. We also have these in-car screens, but it's nice to have that additional prompt of, okay, the car's got this. And I've talked to a lot of people too, where they've said when they're in cars with other people, they kind of want to know where they are, but they always feel a little bit awkward asking, even right. like, you know, where are we?
Yes.
Are we there yet?
Exactly. It was just going there.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things where it's like the more that you speak to people who can't drive or don't drive, and kind of what they're taking away from the Waymo experience, the more that I'm like, I hadn't really thought of that before. And I really love that that's something that you appreciate about it.
I do want to point out too, the whole woman thing. There are some ride services that are very prevalent in cities, and the sexual harassment, et cetera, with women is actually, the numbers are quite high. And so it is nice. That is not a psychological, you know what I mean? It's not just a pretend fear. It's real. So I like that idea. That would be up there for me. The idea that I could get a cab at 11:30 at night or 12 at night by myself if I wanted, and not have to worry about, Jesus, my driver been vetted? Are they safe? Have they done a criminal background check on them? So many things. So we're going to take a short station break, and we'll be right back.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by Health Partners. Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal. More information at healthpartners.com/oneplan.
And you are tuned to Disability and Progress. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. I'm Sam Jasmine, but Charlene Dahl is here with me too. Hey, I could be both of us. Oh, that's another.
No,
that's another show. Okay. tonight we're speaking with Amanda Ventura from Waymo, and Amanda, I want to talk a little bit more about the whole idea about, you know, accessibility. I feel like, you know, how are we ensuring that disability accessibility is built into the design of from the beginning? So somebody told me once that they take Waymos, they've taken them in San Francisco, that there's some buttons up on top of the, like, over their head, but they never knew what they were for. Are things like labeled in Braille, or are all the buttons that are in Waymo accessible on your app?
That is such a throwback for me, because I think the person might be speaking about our Chrysler Pacifica minivans.
Ah.
Those used to have buttons that were kind of in like the ceiling of the vehicle, and those did have Braille on them as well to indicate what they were for.
Mm.
Those buttons now in our electric Jaguar I-Paces are now accessible via the app. So most of the features that you're going to experience as a rider are going to be within the app, as well as on in-car screens. So there's a lot of parity there. In the app, you're able to navigate to your vehicle after you hail it and once it's arrived at its pickup location, and that is voiceover and screen reader accessible. And it, you can press a button within the app that says, find my car, and it'll give you step-by-step directions. It'll say like 300 feet to the left and have haptic cues as well to kind of, you know, keep guiding you to the vehicle until you reach it. There's also kind of a chime button that you can press, and that'll play a musical tone or honk the horn. When you actually get to the vehicle, you don't need necessarily those buttons anymore that the person was talking about in our older vehicle models because it's in the app. So the pullover function, the rider support function, you can select those via buttons in the app. Additionally, you can control the temperature, you can control the music, which can be paired with Spotify now.
And, excellent.
I think that might be new since you and I last spoke. And you can also even control, and I love this feature actually as a accessibility feature, you can control the amount of space that the, if you're sitting in the back seat, that the front passenger seat is pushed up, which is great for people with guide dogs. It gives you additional space in the footwell for your guide dog.
I want to just take a step back a minute. So first of all, can you start by telling how many different vehicles choices would you have? Presumably you might have a van type choice that would take more than two people, or how many does a car fit comfortably? Give me some ideas on the vehicle choices there.
Of course. So the flagship vehicle, the vehicle that's available to hail in all five of our public cities, are the electric Jaguar I-Paces. It's kind of like a sedan. It can fit four people. So that's three people in the back seat, one in the front passenger seat. And then we also have, which is not available to the public yet, but we also have talked about the Ojai, which is a vehicle that we're building in partnership with a company called Zeekr. And that is slightly more boxy looking. But it's going to fit about, I think, four or five people. It has captain chairs. So those who kind of remember our early day vehicle, the Pacifica, it'll have like a captain chair and then kind of like bench seating, very similar to the back seat of a car. And that vehicle is currently driving around on public streets. You might even catch one in one of these markets that we haven't yet launched in. And that's currently doing road testing. But right now, the only vehicle that you can hail through the app is going to be the Jaguar I-Pace. We also have, I don't want to forget, our Hyundai Ioniq. So we do have another vehicle that we're working to bring into the fleet. But again, you might see it driving around, but it's not available to hail just yet.
Gotcha. So I want to step to the app. Is the app usable on how many different phones? Are they both Android and iPhone or just iPhone? How does that work?
Yes, it's available on both Android and iOS. And it's so interesting. I get this question a lot. But yeah, it's accessible on both.
How about the Blind Shell? Do you know about that phone?
Which one?
The Blind Shell.
Blind Shell. I don't, but I will look into that and I'll send you an email with a follow-up.
Cool. Thank you. That'd be awesome. Also, can you call in your ride if you wanted to? Does it have to be over the app or can you actually call customer service and say, I'd like a car here to go here?
Yeah. So you hail the vehicle through the app. So you would put in all your trip details. It'll say like where you headed, where's your pickup? So that's all handled via the phone interface.
I see. So you can't just literally call someone and do that. It has to be through the app. Okay. And presumably you would know the cost right away of what your ride will be.
Exactly. So what you would do is when you open your app, you're going to put in your trip details. Here's where I want to go. You can pre-program up to five stops. And you can even press a button that makes it a round trip super easily for you. And then once you have all those details in, you're going to get an estimate for how much the trip's going to cost. And you're also going to get an estimate for how long until the vehicle will arrive. So it might say like your wait time's 4 minutes and your trip is $18. You confirm, you press, you know, hail
ride. Yes, I want that ride. Yes, okay.
Come to me.
Yes.
And then And then the car will give you updates. So you'll get kind of like a countdown. The numbers will go down. And then when it's about a minute out, your phone will vibrate so that you have an alert of like, okay, the car's turning the corner.
So you can basically kind of track your vehicle.
Exactly. Yeah. It might say dropping off another rider, in which case you probably won't see kind of their journey. But as soon as the car starts heading to you and is empty, you'll be able to track the vehicle.
All right. So I go in the app and I schedule a ride and I want to go from my house to KFAI, we'll say. When the car gets there, you said there are audio cues you can have. You said step-by-step kind of instructions on how to get to your car, haptic feedback, an audio ping, so to speak. That's what I call it. But is there a distance that your car could be from wherever you're picking it up? So what's the furthest distance from wherever you are that your car could wait for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Sometimes vehicle, you might have a set pickup point, and sometimes you'll get an alert in the phone that says like, hey, this might not actually be the best pickup spot. We're going to pick you up a little bit farther away. Now, when the vehicle actually stops and is ready for you to board it, you'll still have the same directions where you'll get that real-time navigation where as you're proceeding toward the vehicle, it'll say 300 feet to the right, 300 feet to the left, and keep giving you real-time information and feedback so that you know kind of how you're navigating toward the vehicle. But occasionally that does happen where the vehicle decides like this pickup spot is not probably the safest, and the vehicle's always going to prioritize the safety of the riders and people around it. And so it's thinking about like, maybe I'm going to go to a calmer spot, you know, with fewer pedestrians who are kind of crowding this space. So it could change. And I don't really know if there's a specific distance, but we try to keep it within or not.
So could I be correct if I asked, like, might you have to cross a street to get to the safe spot?
It could potentially involve crossing the street. And if that's the case, it will let you know. There's usually like a an update where it'll say like, you know, it's going to be a 1 minute walk potentially to your pickup location, and that's usually what the 1 minute like phone buzz will do to give you the alert of like, maybe check to see like where the drop off point is and make sure you're standing near it.
So then how long does the vehicle stay there? Let's say a rider I knew said he took it in San Francisco, and he said there are some places where it's really hard for the vehicle to figure out the proper place to stop. And so it may be a block or so away. I presume you have some kind of wait time on the vehicle that it sits there and waits for X amount of time, and then it leaves.
Yeah. Absolutely. So depends on how busy the space is, right? Waymo also doesn't want to make the rider uncomfortable too, if like, you know, a car's sitting there and it's getting honked at. So it can wait in kind of busy areas and it'll give you this alert, so it's not a surprise. So once it arrives, the countdown timer will begin, and that could be anywhere from 2 minutes, which is quite rare, to usually up to 6 minutes. And it'll have that countdown timer, so you have a good idea of how much time you have to get to the vehicle. I think that's still pretty standard, but I'm sorry to hear that the vehicle is about a block away from the person.
Well, that's according to what he said. And so then it brings me to here. And as the testing will go, which I hope to get into in a little bit, there can be snowbanks. Sometimes the city can pile snow pretty high up to the curb where you have to figure out the cross places. And I've had to cross to climb snowbanks to get over and then go cross the street. So, and not huge, but little mounds, you know. So I'm wondering, is there a way to cue the vehicle, hey, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way, can you wait longer? Is there a way to do that?
Not that I'm aware of, but I just applaud you for hurling snowbanks to.
Oh, yeah, it's it can be. I mean, depending on, most winters are okay here, but if you get a rough one, you know, like some of them get quite a bit of snow. We haven't had that for a while, but and at the first, you know, bit of the time, it could take the city a bit to shovel properly and get the curb cuts, you know, shoveled. So there, hence, is where you might have the bank climbing person. So anyway, that's something to think about, and I'm sure you'll discover as Waymo moves on in some of these snowier, icier places. So you talk about the vehicle. It's waiting there. You get to it. I presume the vehicle remains locked until you get there so that nobody else climbs into the vehicle?
You presume correct, yeah. So the vehicle, the Jaguar, has these door handles that can basically like go into the door so that it's kind of flush with the sides of the vehicle exterior.
Wow. Okay.
And once again, there's a button for that in the app where when the vehicle has reached the pickup point, you as the rider have the opportunity within your app to click unlock doors or open trunk, which will also potentially unlock the doors as well. So you have control over that, and you can do that as soon as the vehicle's ready to be boarded. But I always recommend doing it when you're closer to the vehicle, because once again, that personal safety component is so important. So yeah, and then when you're in the vehicle, the door does, you know, lock as well for your safety. And when you reach your final destination, we have something that's, I believe, called a double reach. And what that means is that you have to pull the door handle from the interior one time to unlock and a second time to open.
Okay.
So you're not locked in if you grab it once.
It would be a first of a bit of a shock, like, oh my God, it's not opening. Okay. And then the thought brings me to, you know, it's going to be asked. So I know Venmo has a pretty good record. If they didn't, you wouldn't be expanding. But, you know, things happen. So if there is any kind of collision or accident or whatever, and you need to get out of the car, does it automatically unlock? Is it still the double pull thing again? How do emergency people get into the car if they need to?
Oh, sure. That's a great question. So if the vehicle does pull over or your trip needs to end early, for example, rider support will come on to, they'll receive an alert that, hey, you know, maybe this ride is being terminated early, or, you know, there's been like a contact point, or the police are, you know, present. And so we're there to communicate with the rider. And then you also have control over, you know, unlocking the vehicle as well. And rider support can also guide you through that or work with you through that. And what rider support will probably do is then ask if you need another ride, or just make sure that, you know, if you're not at your final destination, that they've communicated with you about, you know, what's the next part of your journey. And, you know, does Waymo need to assist you to get to your final destination?
Gotcha. We need to take another short station break, and we'll be right back.
Programming on KFAI comes in part from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting the global get-together at the Minnesota State Fair. The Cedar returns to the State Fair's International Bazaar stage for the fourth year of their global get-together. Wednesday, September 2nd, Obie Original and the Black Atlantics bring Afropop, highlife, and funk to the fair. Nigerian-American Afrobeats and Afrofusion artist Obie Original leads the Black Atlantics to bring their signature blend of Igbo highlife, hip-hop, R&B, and jazz to the International Bazaar stage near the corner of Judson and Underwood. More information about the Cedars Global Get-Together at the Minnesota State Fair is available at thecedar.org.
Band. You're tuned to KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, KFAI.org. This is Disability in Progress. I'm Sam Jasmine and with Charlene Dahl. And we are here with Amanda Ventura with talking about Waymo. And Amanda, I wonder if you're in the vehicle and you want to give any instructions, can you do it via voice or do you have to go through your app?
Yeah, good question. So you can contact rider support. That would require, you know, pressing a button to indicate that you would like to speak with them. Mm-hmm. But if you do have concerns where, you know, you want to, you know, do a specific action inside the vehicle and you're, you need additional support, you can always contact them to see if it's something that they can assist with. But I would say that there's no like voice control, so to speak. So you can't say like, hey, Waymo, turn down the temperature. Although I would love that feature because I would love an opportunity to just chat it up with Waymo.
Oh, then you'd get people asking, hey, Waymo, are you good looking? And goofy things like that.
I think she is.
I wonder as well about... you know, rider trust and everything. What does it look like with support when you're talking to somebody who's, you know, if you need other assistance via Waymo, what kind of training does that person get with customer support? And are they available any time of the day?
Yeah. So I think there might be an implied question there too, which is that rider support's also available via chat. If someone, for example, doesn't actually, is deaf or hard of hearing, they can also opt in to chat with a rider support agent. Rider support is 24/7 with a real human being. And that's always accessible. And sometimes I'll just randomly press it when I'm doing like a ride at, you know, like you said, like 1 a.m. or 11 at night, like just to kind of, you know, I'm
always
just curious.
Is there anybody there?
I don't try to waste my time, but sometimes it's, you know, just myself.
Comforting and
how long is it going to take for someone to answer, I guess. And so the training for our rider support team, we have really robust training. We've had even some of our accessibility partners, the Epilepsy Foundation, for example, also has, you know, done calls with our rider support team. And it's really important to us that we're, you know, constantly, especially as we drive in new cities and new markets, that we're, you know, we're keeping up with the training and needs.
What accommodations does Waymo offer for riders with mobility disabilities, such as walkers, wheelchairs, things like that?
Sure. So there are some people that Enzo, who's the CEO of United Spinal, he uses a manual chair, and I believe that, you know, he's able to transfer into a Waymo. So some people with manual chairs, I believe, do sometimes transfer into a Waymo, and we do have trunk space. So if someone wants to store their wheelchair in the trunk or pull it in to the cabin, you know, those are sometimes an option. But for people who use a power chair and are unable to use the Jaguar I-Pace, in markets where we're publicly launched, we do have manually driven wheelchair accessible vehicles that are available within our fleet. And so in California, for example, if you have the app open and you're in our accessibility menu, you can toggle on a feature that says wheelchair accessible vehicle. And what that means is that every time you hail a Waymo, you'll be paired with a manually driven Wave for, I think it's a $5 fee. And you go where you need to go within our service area still. And so that's how a lot of our riders who have wheelchairs or use wheelchairs get around via our app. And then, you know, I think for other mobility devices, it really is dependent on the person and, you know, if they're comfortable getting into the vehicle and are able to store their mobility device.
Let's get to it. Let's talk about Minnesota. You are now, I know you guys are testing here. What does that mean exactly? How many cars do you have? What does testing look like and what do you look for?
Yeah. So, I mean, now I'm looking for snowbanks, but that's just me personally. So our vehicles are currently being driven manually, meaning there's a trained specialist who's sitting in the front seat of these vehicles that are manually driving the cars. And that's for what we call early data collection. That means that all of our sensors are running and we're creating really detailed 3D maps of the world around us. So that's curb heights, lane markers, where are the stop signs and the stop lights, where are the crosswalks. We're getting like just a good 3D view of the world that we're going to hopefully drive in without the specialist in the front seat. So all of that is needed before we operate autonomously.
That's a lot of area to cover.
Yeah, exactly. And so then we'll transition to operating autonomously with, you know, the specialist still sitting in the front seat, and then eventually transition to just the Waymo driver and no one in the front seat.
So are you actually only doing like test, if there's testers that want rides, are you just going street to street and it's X amount of hours a day? What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, our driving is usually 24/7, so we want to get that good field of view of, you know, the world that we're going to be operating in at different hours of the day, different traffic patterns, all of those things. And so that's typically what's involved in road testing, and also, of course, getting some of that weather testing as well under our belt. And you know, experiencing the roads in those kinds of different modalities too.
Are riders yet able to test it? And when you do roll out, how many cars will be rolled out when you finally really do that?
Yeah, and I know the question too is, will we call you so that you can ride?
yes, it is.
So when we come to a new city, we usually have a slightly smaller fleet because we start in a slightly smaller footprint.
Right.
And then we expand from there. And so actually today we just announced that in Miami, which is our newest city, that we are doing limited access to our service. And so that's usually, we kind of start small. We start welcoming people who've expressed interest in riding with us. Mm-hmm. And before we like publicly launched fully to everyone. And the way that people can sign up to learn more about that is through our website, which is waymo.com/updates. And you can indicate where you're located so that when we're in your area, you can get a notification. You can also download the Waymo app and just be like super ready to go and also indicate when you're interested in riding. And that's the best way to find out, in addition to listening to this fine podcast.
Do you have a date that you're thinking you might be ready to roll out here?
No date to share at the moment, but I'm sure I'll be back when we're ready.
I'm sure you will. And I presume it's going to start out just being like the immediate Minneapolis area or Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Yeah, so we're really initially focused in driving in the downtown Minneapolis core, mm-hmm. as well as a small portion of St. Paul.
Okay. All right. So is this true that, like, I know some places you've paired with Uber or Lyft or whoever to, you know, with some of your rides, but my understanding here is that we still have the law that there must be a driver in an autonomous vehicle car. Is that really true? And if so, what has to change then for you guys to be totally autonomous?
Yeah, so right now, like I had shared, right, we do have a specialist behind the wheel for these early data collection validation missions. And we are looking forward to working with state and city officials as we define a path toward offering our fully autonomous ride-hailing service in Minneapolis.
So we're going to have some kind of law changes in order to have a truly driverless car.
Yeah, correct. So the state doesn't have legislation in place around autonomous vehicles at this time. But we are so lucky to be working closely with city and state officials on you know, paving the way.
Excellent. So on the driver, I mean, how many other cities have drivers in their cars? Is it all new cities do, or does it vary state by state?
Yeah, right now it's it does vary a little bit by state. So the longer that we've been kind of manually driving in certain cities and then moving to that, you know, space where there's a specialist behind the wheel, but where the Waymo driver is doing all of the driving, it varies, you know, depending on our safety framework and how, if we feel that we're, you know, ready to take the human specialist out from behind the wheel. So for example, in places like San Antonio and Houston and Dallas, mm-hmm. we aren't publicly launched yet, but we have completely empty vehicles that are driving around and getting ready.
What about your drivers? Are they allowed to interact with the passengers?
So typically by the time that we start welcoming public riders, we don't actually have anyone sitting behind the wheel. You know, it's the full Waymo experience in that regard. Although you're not mistaken that in the early days when we launched in Chandler, Arizona, like way back in the day in 2017, we did have specialists behind the wheel.
Okay.
So some of our early riders might remember that.
Ah, okay. So no, when you're getting into a Waymo, most likely you're not going to have a driver in the car. You're just going to have the fully autonomous.
That's right. Just you and your Spotify mix.
So it's no secret that there are other companies that are fighting for this autonomous cab experience. And you guys are the ones that I see the most information about and how you're doing and cities you're covering. I'm wondering what your plan is to stay on top, because I kind of consider that you guys are on top. Like, what do you feel is the magic of being able to kind of stay ahead of the game?
I mean, thank you for saying that. That's so kind. I think that's going to make a lot of engineers feel really good, even though I'm not an engineer, same. I think that, there's a reason that you hear so much from us, and it's because we've been doing this since 2009, and because we have so many public markets that already have, you know, a fully autonomous ride-hailing service available to people 24/7. And so when you are doing more than 250,000 rides a week in 5 U.S. cities, you know, that's gonna mean that a lot of people are posting their stories and telling their Waymo ride stories. And so that could be maybe why, you know, you're hearing so much about that experience.
So there in that, having that many stories, there's always, you know, an unexpected thing that may or may not, you know, that may happen on a ride. How does Waymo handle that? What happens in an unexpected situation where you need to have somebody come on and talk you through what to do?
Sure. I think one thing I'll add too quickly to your prior question as well is that, you know, we take safety really seriously, and I think that our willingness to be super transparent about what the Waymo experience is like and our safety data. And, you know, I think that we take this like responsibility that we have as, you know, the company that's been doing this the longest, that has such a broad footprint
right. And
public service. We really take that seriously. And so I think that transparency is something that really does, you know, help us continue to earn trust in that perception of us, you know, being a leader and like wanting to do this the right way. We want to do it right. And so when it comes to, you know, people having unexpected experiences, we do have a process for reviewing that and making sure that, you know, everyone feels that the experience is able to be handled well should it happen again, and make sure that everyone is safe in the process and feels safe.
So talk about what the process is if somebody wants to give feedback, and then what happens with that?
Yeah. So if you want to give feedback live in the app or through writer support, you are more than welcome to call writer support and say, this just happened. I wanted to let you know, this is something that should be considered. After your ride, though, too, you also have an opportunity to leave us feedback just as you would a human driver in another ride-hailing experience. And so, we take 5 stars. We don't need tips, but we will take those 5 stars. And there's also various categories that you can leave us feedback in. So you can quickly tag, driving behavior or something else that, you really enjoyed, the ride was pleasant, or, something else, just to give us feedback on your particular ride. There's also open-ended feedback. So if you really want to leave us a novel of feedback just specific to your ride, you can also do that.
And that goes to?
So we have a team that, is reviewing feedback so that we can continue to improve and make our experience for riders delightful.
How will Waymo make sure that there's not a huge inequity thing? I think I'm guessing your prices will vary depending on the time of day, but is there any thought to working with other companies so that people who maybe can't afford Lyft and Uber all the time can take Waymo?
Yeah. So we're always thinking about, ways that we can be useful in cities where we're operating. So in some places we have done pilot programs with other, partners or even with the public transit authorities to incentivize or encourage people to use public transit and other modes of mobility in the cities that we're serving. So on the affordability side, one thing that we're doing in Chandler, Arizona, which is a suburb of Metro Phoenix, is we're partnering with a company called VIA on mm-hmm. their FlexRide program. And that's offering steeply discounted rides, cool. usually for low income or people who, don't have other modes of transportation. And
right.
so, those are the kinds of things that we're starting to think about, as we grow and expand. There's also, we've done pilots with transit authorities in Northern California and Southern California, where when people use Waymo to get to public transportation hubs or train mm-hmm. stations, they get $3 back on their account to encourage them to use Waymo as more of a first last mile solution versus their, entire journey. And mm-hmm. so, we have a really great team at Waymo that's thinking about all of these things. How do we integrate into the existing transportation system?
I did not think I would get through most of my questions, but is there anything you think I've missed that you'd like to leave us with?
Hey, I got a question.
Oh, Charlene, my PR person has a question. Go ahead, Charlene.
What happens if you're in the car and it has a wreck? What does the police do?
Yeah, so we have luckily a great safety record that's available at waymo.com/safety. And as I shared, we're 10 times safer than a human driver. Mm-hmm. But if there is an instance where law enforcement, for example, does come and need to engage with a Waymo, we have a QR code actually on the exterior of the vehicle that police officers are trained in how to engage with, so that they can then contact our law enforcement support team and handle what they need to handle. For the rider themselves, they're not the ones driving, right? You don't need a driver's license
right.
to be inside a Waymo. And so rider support might come on and, engage with the rider and let them know kind of what, or suggest and kind of speak with them about the situation. But law enforcement is trained. I think we've trained over tens of thousands of law enforcement officers across the country and even internationally in how to engage with us. And that's something where we're constantly working to educate them. We just published some law enforcement engagement content with the Governor's Highway Safety Association as well. And that's available online too for people to access.
Thank you.
I've heard interesting instances of people falling asleep in a Waymo and then having to try to wake them.
I mean, me too. I've fallen asleep in a Waymo, I think, at least twice. If you do fall asleep in the back seat of a Waymo, kind of similar to, you know, you have a set time period that you can get into the vehicle. If you also don't get out of the vehicle in kind of I think it's about 5 minutes, rider support might come on and ask you just to make sure you're okay. Like, are you having trouble getting out of the vehicle? Yeah. Sometimes they might need to wake you. but that's, you know, that's something that just happens. And I actually take it as just people trust us so much that they're.
Yeah, you know, a good sign, right? Otherwise, they've had a lot of fun that night.
One or the other. They've been hopping too many snowbanks or.
Yeah, that's it. So where do people go to find out more about Waymo again?
Yeah, so Waymo.com is our website. The Waymo app is just Waymo. You can also check us out on social media channels at Waymo or at Waymo Community and follow along on the journey. We'd love for you to join us when we're in your city.
Amanda, it's been a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, it has.
Thank you so much for coming back on. And I am so looking forward to when I get to actually ride and I can actually record what one would sound like so that I can come on and play it. So that will be exciting for me. And of course, to get to my destination too.
It's all about the journey and the destination. You and Charlene, I can't wait to have you guys ride with us.
Thank you so very much. It's been fun.
Thank you.
We'll be back right after this.
Support for KFAI comes in part from the Dakota, presenting Braxton Cook Wednesday, August 12th. Saxophonist Braxton Cook is touring with last year's release, Not Everyone Can Go, and his soon-to-be-released new album, Elastic Groove. Blending jazz and R&B, Braxton Cook's music is both a personal and cultural statement. Blending themes of love, social justice, and progress into music that speaks to today's social climate while remaining timeless. More information about Braxton Cook Live at the Dakota is available at dakotacooks.com.
Well, Charlene, this show has been a lot of fun.
It's kind of exciting.
All our shows are fun, but this has been particularly exciting for us. And I want to encourage people that if they have questions, I'm sure we could forward them or ask the people at Waymo. So you can email us. Always feel free to email us at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. You can find out what's coming up in the future. Or you can comment or suggest other topics. It's a great way to talk to us. Charlene, thanks. It's been fun. Disability in Progress. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KFAI or its board of directors. My name is Sam. I've been the host of this show. Charlene Dahl is my PR research person. Aaron is my podcaster. Thank you, Aaron. Tonight, we were speaking with Amanda Ventura, who is from Waymo, about all things Waymo and Waymo coming to Minnesota. If you want to be on our email list, you can always email us at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. We love hearing from you. Thanks for listening. Fresh Fruit is up next. Take care.
When you were lost in the woods, you were misunderstood by everyone, everyone. You were searching for words, but they came out absurd. And no one heard you, no one heard you speak your mind. They lost the time. When
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial community-powered radio.